Welcome to the walkthrough.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 15 edition of the walkthrough. I'm your host, Matty Kiwoom, joined, of course, by Cody Carpentier. The first round of the fantasy playoff is here, folks. It's very, very exciting. And Cody and I are going to go game by game and talk about the entire week 15 slate. We are done with buys, Cody. Let's rock and roll, baby.
Let's, dude, buys, screw them. We done. Screw fantasy them. Playoffs here. I'm ready.
I cannot believe it. Real quick, in a sentence or two, Bill Belichick going to the North Carolina Tar Heels is?
In a sentence or two, we'll just put it this way. If they hate it, I love it. And they all hate it.
And everyone hates it. Yeah, I love it. I think it's awesome. And he's getting the old team back together. It's what I think it's – he didn't want to wait for the NFL. He's saying, fuck the NFL. And I also think that they can act like the old days. I don't think that any NFL team was going to let him act like it was the old days. Right. Lombardi's there. He's there. His crew's there. He's going to be able to act like 01 Patriot. He's going to have full control of the regime. And I think it's going to be pretty fun. We talked about it on The Hurdle. So if you want our deeper thoughts, go check out The Hurdle on South Harmon's YouTube channel. Any last thoughts? Anything? It looked like you were about to say something.
I'll hold it.
Oh, hold it. Hold it a little nuggy. All right, well, let's get into the first game, shall we? The 5-8 Dallas Cowboys head over to take on the 3-10 Carolina Panthers. Panthers are 3-point favorites at home, over under of 43. Let's start on the Cowboys side of things. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb, despite not being nuclear, is still a top five wide receiver, so you're going to play him. But let's talk about Rico Dowdle. Back-to-back 100-yard games from scrimmage. Now he has three of four 100 yards from scrimmage. Rico Dowdle's playing pretty well. Where do you have Rico play? Ranked, and are you letting people know, like, is he a must-play for you?
I think Rico's put himself into that conversation. Rico is I'm so pissed off that this didn't come so much sooner. This was earned in training camp. It was saw in training camp, and it's something that we bought into in like the 10th, 11th round. And they finally, so week five, we got a running back 4 week, week nine, we got a running back 8 week, but like sprinkled in throughout the entire season, it's been like, well, you know, here's 44% of the snaps. Here's 51% of the snaps. And now they're giving him 71%, 76%, 64%. So the last 3 weeks, 64, 71, 76. It's going up. He's getting more of a role. Like this should have started to happen in, like, they saw it in week four. Go with it. And they just didn't. So I'm glad it's here now. This is potential league winner stuff right here. I know everyone's attacking the San Francisco backfield, which I don't think is wrong. But when you're looking for a true league winner, great matchup this week for Rico Dowdle against Carolina Panthers. Number one matchup on the matchup tool. Next week against Tampa. Pretty tough matchup with Vita Vea up there in the middle there on Sunday Night Football. Eagles in the fantasy football championship, I don't hate, but like there's still a lot of opportunity here for Rico to continue to build and give you, you know, I'm sure he was cut in multiple leagues, in multiple spots, after the couple of weeks where it was like, well, I don't know what this thing is. If you held on to him, or had him throughout the season, you've been able to use him, and you're going to continue to be able to use him. I have him ranked right at running back 16 overall, which I think is a little bit low.
Yeah, I got him at running back 10. Love the matchup. Love the usage. How dynamic he's been on the team. Matchup, like you mentioned, is terrific for Rico Dowdle. Now, he was dropped in a lot of seasonal formats early on, but for me in Dynasty, he was the easiest. Take my playoff two and go ahead and give me Rico Dowdle weeks ago before the outburst happened, because you could see it written in the stars. The snap share was going up. The matchups were getting easier. Dowdle, a play. Lamb, obviously a play. Now, are there any other pass catchers on Dallas that you consider starting in the first round of the fantasy playoffs? Turd Ferguson does have a nice matchup against Carolina.
Turd Ferguson does have a nice matchup. Brandon Cooks came back 2 weeks ago, or technically, yeah, 2 weeks ago, caught a touchdown this week. The targets just aren't there enough for me. I'm not going to buy into the targets here with Brandon Cooks. He's going to be a fringe top 40 guy. If you guys start five wide receivers in your roster, I think Cooks is viable. But anything else in this offense, I'm pretty much staying away from. Like you said, Turd Ferguson should be considered, but don't love it. We haven't really gotten real output from him consistently since, you know, first 5 weeks of the season.
And on the Carolina side of things, Bryce Young has been playing better, which we like for our Adam Thielen shares, but Bryce Young's not a start, right? I mean, he hasn't been good for fantasy.
He's played good football.
He's been, you're right.
But it's not translating to like high-end fantasy output. Like, we got the 1 week in week 13, but other than that, it's been, you know, QB2. And QB2 doesn't really do a lot for you in the standard one quarterback leagues. If you're in Superflex, you're happy, but you're content. I should say you're not happy. Bryce Young, as far as the egg is that you could throw at home this week, I think Bryce Young's going to be like a, you know, I think I got him at 15 this week.
Oh, nice. So you're higher than I am on Bryce Young, which bodes well for Adam Thielen. So where do you have Adam Thielen?
Adam Thielen, I don't know really what to do with. Part of me really wants to buy into this Xavier Leggett thing. I mean, he's eating raccoon meat.
He's wild, dude. With his hair looking like he did in that interview.
That was
unbraided, looking like Andre 3000. It was wild.
When people bring words back into your vocabulary that you like knew existed, you've used before, but you haven't used in a long time. Shout out to Will Compton. No free shout outs. I mean, he don't need my freaking shit out, but shout out, but bringing back the word diabolical to my,
diabolical.
Having Barstool, like Xavier Leggett's hair was diabolical.
He looked like a cow. He looked like he was like playing Beethoven in a movie role or something. It was wild. He's
awesome, man. He's eating raccoon meat. Guy can't stay healthy for his life, but playing good football, getting targeted. So I got Adam Thielen at wide receiver 40. It's a top 10 matchup across the board for the Carolina Panthers, and I got Leggett down there as well. I think around like 50 or 49 or so. I think he's at 49. Yeah, that's where I got him right here. 8.34 fantasy points per game. Again, not getting hyper-targeted. I think he's only averaging about 5.15 targets per game on the season. So if we can get more downfield shots, I think I'd feel better about it. But I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of much of the weaponry there in Carolina on the outsides.
Did you say Adam Thielen wide receiver 40?
Yes, ma'am.
I have Adam Thielen at wide receiver 13 this week.
Oh, balls.
I mean, it's a middle-of-the-road matchup. It's not really a tough matchup. Last week was a tougher matchup, and homeboy 8. 21 targets over the last two. Yeah. 17 receptions. Over 100 yards per game. I'm loving me some Adam
Thielen. You call me a fish on Thielen here? Is that what we're getting here?
I'm not calling you a fish. I just thought this was your guy.
He is my guy, but
I thought this was your
I think
guy.
You're calling me a fish here. I think I got to move him up. I'll get him. Here's what I'll do. I can get him. I'll put him between Higgins and Pickens, 21. That's what I can do for you. That's as far as I can go. I can't go above Higgins and Kupp and Collins.
I have him ranked. Where do I have Higgins? I have him five spots higher than Higgins. But
Alex has Higgins at wide receiver 8.
So then he must have Burrow at wide receiver, like quarterback 1.
4.
That doesn't mathematically
make sense. Math, Alex. He's got Chase at 1, Higgins at 8, and then he's got Burrow at 4?
Impossible. Impossible. So you're going to have to go talk to your boy, because there's no way that math ain't mathing. That fantasy math ain't mathing.
And Chase Brown at 7. So, yikes.
We'll talk about it.
I moved Thielen up, point blank.
And I will say, last week, we were right about Amari Cooper. It was a decent game, but 13 targets in that shootout. He should have went for $120, $150. He should have balled out a little bit more. We were on to the matchup. We called the matchup, and we were on that matchup. And last but not least, Rico Chuba Hubbard, Freudian slip there, but I got him 9-10 in my rankings. As easy as Carolina has been for running backs, the Dallas Cowboys have been equally as easy. So if you have Chuba Hubbard, you're obviously playing Chuba Hubbard. You don't need to hear us talk about Chuba Hubbard. We will talk about the next game on the slate. 12-1 defending, reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs head to Cleveland to take on the Fighting Winstons and their 3-10 record. The Browns surprisingly only getting 4 points at home. Feels
wrong.
Feels like a trap here. 43.5 over and under. Also feels a bit of a trap. Now, I don't know about the weather sitch. Maybe the weather looks bad in Cleveland on Sunday. I know there's a lot of bad weather across the country this weekend. But barring a storm, Jameis has been able to push the pace of these games. Jameis has been able to keep opposing teams on their toes, whether it be in catch-up mode or just straight-up haymaker for haymaker. I feel like the over in this, which you get, you don't get no juice, but it is better odds. You do get a little bit better money return if you bet the over at a minus 108 on DraftKings. And I think I'm going to take the Chiefs in the points. I don't know. I think they cover. I know they've been horrible at covering this year. But 4 points, Cody?
I think. Well, I mean, the thing is, I think I saw one of the great posts that you get every year late in the season is the if every one score game was flip flopped, so and so's record would be. So they showed the entire NFL, and it was like Kansas City Chiefs 2-10, and that's what the Chiefs have been this year. Now this is the Cleveland Browns. There's no David Njoku. The weather, like you just said, I looked it up right now as you spoke. Low of 37, high of 42. So we got the weather dialed in. But the precipitation at noontime on Sunday does look to be about 40% rain. 70% rain in the morning, 40% kickoff, 35% during, 35% throughout the entire game. So chance of rain, 17-mile-an-hour winds. Cleveland is the one place that I will ever say to worry about weather. Everybody, I think, in America knows that. So, that probably builds into it a little bit. Also, them playing these narrow games week in and week out. Maddie, I got one question for you on this game because there's no Njoku. So, I think everyone should know where to focus on the Cleveland side with Judy, with Elijah Moore. If Tillman's back, Tillman's going to get targets because he just is. The running game has been what it is with Jerome Ford and Nick Chubb. My question comes on the Kansas City side. Because I continue to struggle as far as kind of projecting what's going to happen in the backfield here with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. So Pacheco came back in week 13 at 33% of snaps. Kareem Hunt dropped down to 40% after he, the last couple weeks, was like 69, 54. He drops down to 40% to Pacheco's 33. And then this week, week 14, Pacheco vaults up to 48%, so a 15% jump, and Kareem drops down to 31%. Pacheco's running back 29. Kareem Hunt 39. The week before that, they were both in the 40s. Like, can we trust either one of these guys as like actual running back two options? Or should they be just viewed as flex players? I put them both running back 33 and running back 34. It's not a great matchup. It's actually, you know, completely straight up middle of the line right now against the Cleveland defense, which generally is a tougher matchup, but it's straight up middle of the line right now. I just don't know where I should focus because I think they like both backs. And obviously this team's trying to win a championship, not score fantasy points.
Yeah. I got Pacheco at 27. So he's not even my running back two range. And this is like a tough matchup. And I'm sorry, Jameis throws the ball 45 times a game. This game's going to have a little bit more pep in its step, I think, than Vegas kind of says when you look at the over-under. So I'm looking elsewhere if I can at running back. I know that's tough at this point of the year, but if I'm making the decision between Isaac Garendo tonight or yesterday by the time you hear this, so I guess that's shitty information, but if I have the chance to play one of the Jets guys, I'm playing him. If I have a Brian Robinson, I'd go Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
If I had, you know, Rico, we talked about Rico, I'm definitely going Rico. So I'm not all that excited about Isaiah Pacheco this week. I'm really not all excited about anyone in this game entirely. I mean, Judy at 22 for me. Of course, Kelsey's top five by default. Not really excited about playing any running back in this game. Quarterbacks, I got Patrick Mahomes at 10, and I think that's generous. That's probably too high.
Probably a little bit high with the weather, you think?
Yeah, I think I could see that fall behind. I have him ahead of Bo Nix, Tua, and Sam Darnold. I think I could move him behind all three. Actually, so I'm actually going to stay away from this game except for Kelsey if I can help it. So stay away from this game. But this next game should be a lot more team friendly for fantasy. The 6-7 Miami Dolphins head to Texas to play the 8-5 Houston Texans. Texans are giving up 3 points at home, over under of 46.5. Well, let's start on the visitor side of things. Tua Tagovailoa, top 12 play. A-Chain, there needs to be no discussion. But let's talk about the wide receivers. Okay, Waddle looked a little bit better last week. Tyreek Hill now back-to-back weeks, over 20 fantasy points. Is Tyreek Hill back? Where do you have him this week?
Is Tyreek Hill back? I mean, I hope, I think, I want him to be. I want this whole team to be. This last week in that game, Dolphins and Jets, I think all four dudes, Wilson, Adams, Tyreek, Waddle didn't quite get there at 99 yards. I was going to say all four had over 100 yards, but obviously Waddle had to clip us at 99. He couldn't quite get us all the way back there. But Tyreek did finally give us that top five game, finished as wide receiver five. The trend line has been great the last three, 31, 11, and 5. I like Tyreek. I think I want to believe in Tyreek. But as far as where I ranked him this week, I'm still a little bit hesitant. I got him coming in at wide receiver 9.
Okay, me too. I got him at 10. So, yeah, we're cautiously optimistic. Tough matchup against Stingley, but Houston hasn't really been a tough matchup for wide receivers in fantasy all year long. But on the Houston side of things, I'm not big on Stroud this week, which means I'm down on the pass catchers as a whole other than Nico. So I got Nico high. Tank Dell is not a starter for me this week. Where do you have CJ Stroud?
I was going to ask you the same question. I have him considerably low. Wide receiver, quarterback 20.
I'm not far off. I'm at quarterback 17. I would play Jameis Winston over him.
So I think that's a good question. I think that's a great place to be, because I literally, as we were talking about that game, I moved Jameis down a couple of spots because of the weather, and I literally, no BS, as we were talking, moved him down before we got to see the Stroud. I put him literally 19. Stroud's at 20.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough for him, but Joe Mixon, don't really need to talk about Mixon. He's been so diabolical this year, so we're going to roll with Mixon. I got Mixon as a top five play.
Mixon, it feels like Mixon's cooled off, but I think it's because they had a bye last week, and it's just not in your recent memory, but this guy literally was running back 1 in week 11, running back 4 in week 13. If the matchup is there, he's going to take advantage of it. So I think I just got to continue to roll with, believe in Joe Mixon and have him as your top five play.
Yeah, it's great matchup, top five matchup here against the Dolphins. So we love us some Joe Mixon. Let's move on. New York Jets 3-10 head to Florida to take on the 3-10 Jaguars. Someone's gonna fall in the tankathon.com bowl. We're gonna do this game at 2x speed because who gives a flying fuck? The Jaguars are getting 3 points at home, over under 40.5. The over under sucks, but yet both defenses kind of suck. I mean, I guess we'll just talk here. We're playing Brian Robinson, right?
Brian Thomas, right? I think so, right? I think so. The Matt, like we talked about last week with the Jets, they gave up 210, 215 total yards between Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. All I care about is that Brian Thomas hit his preseason receiving touchdown prop, which was 5.5 touchdowns. He's at 6 now. So he's on his way to 1,000 yards. I think he's 130 away. They got to roll with Mac Daddy again, it looks like. I think that's the last report I saw, right? Was Mac Daddy's getting the start here?
Mac Daddy's getting the start, absolutely.
Makes this game even worse than you could have ever dreamt or expected that it was going to be. If Aaron Rodgers loses this game, I think the fake tweet that came out that said, I think it was from Ian Harditz. It was like a fake quote. Like it was a video, a muted video. And it was like Aaron Rodgers quote saying, if I lose to the Jaguars, I will retire on the spot. Like, I think that is a joke, but it's very like needs to be serious. Like if he loses to the Jags this week, he needs to retire.
Yeah. And I think he's actually a sneaky quarterback too in Superflex.
Yeah. Good play.
I think he's a decent play this week. I got him in the top 20. Reason being because the wide receivers have such a good matchup. Davante Adams coming off now 3 games in a row of double digits, 2 of which he was a top 20 wide receiver. Garrett Wilson looked good last week. Both wide receivers this week finish inside the top 16 for the Cuck score. So the corners under constant chaos. You can find that when you join the Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. Get in there and get that Cuck score. Both of them inside the top 8 or top 16. I'm going to take advantage. I like the receivers. I like, by extension, Aaron Rodgers. And we talked about the Jaguar side of things. It sucks.
Last piece here, Braylon Allen, Breece Hall, that situation.
Breece Hall's just, I think you were going to see him miss the rest of the season.
I think so too. And that puts Braylon Allen, has to put him, like, I know we haven't gotten like the most out of this role this year, but no Breece period has to put Braylon, or do you think that potentially they look at Isaiah Davis in more of a split committee with Braylon?
I have him at 25, 26. It's a back little bit of virtue of just, yeah.
Davis back to back?
Back to back. The way that they're being used, they're both fine. To me, it feels like a Walmart version or a Dollar General version of the Lions, where you could play them both. Yeah. It seems like they work. They just don't, they're not as prolific. They're not as dialed. They're not as certain.
Yeah.
And in this matchup against the Jaguars just suck. And they really can't stop the pass. They can't stop the run. They have hardly generated a pass rush this year. They're playing a little uninspired. So I'm okay playing both. I'm not excited about either though. The Isaiah Davis thing, to me, it's just he's there. There's no way he's getting put back. And when you watch that game last week, he's coming on the field when they're getting close to the goal line. He's coming in the game when it's third down. And Braylon Allen was there and he caught passes, which kind of saved his day. But Isaiah Davis ain't going nowhere. And Isaiah Davis clearly got inside the Aaron Rodgers circle of trust, and I don't think he's getting out. So they got to be close in the rankings, I think. They're going to be a 1A, 1B situation. They're going to kind of take on this role, and I think it's a good role to have. I think this wide receiver tandem is a good one. They're both big, both explosive, both have pretty decent hands, especially the way Isaiah Davis is being used. So I got them both inside my top 30, but I don't have them either of them as a running back two in fantasy this week because I don't know who to trust in the situation. I kind of talked about that with Braylon Allen last week. Had him ranked lowest of Charbonnet, Gruendo, and Allen. Allen was lowest because of Isaiah Davis. Let's move on to the next game. The Washington Commanders need this win to solidify themselves as a playoff contender. They take their 8-5 record and head over to New Orleans and take on the 5-8 Saints. Saints are getting 7.5 points at home, over under of 43.5. No Derek Carr. Looks like he will miss some time. No wide receiver in the passing game because of these injuries, because of everything in this offense, because of the emergence of Kendre Miller. Where do you have Alvin Kamara ranked in week 15?
I got Kamara ranked at 18, but the problem is that like you can't fade off of him. The snap difference is still very much in Kamara's favor. 81, 74, 85, 71%. Like it's still riding Kamara. He hasn't given you a top five game since week 9, but he's given you top 20 consistently. So it may stink. It may not be getting the top end, but you will at least get, you know, requisite output. You will at least get your 13 to 16 fantasy points and have the upside of him dropping a 30 bomb if he does catch or run in a couple touchdowns. As far as Kendre goes, I just want them to get this guy some reps and some opportunities so that they can see that he is the answer for next year and they can depart Kamara. But Kamara, for me, comes in at running back 18. That's quite literally the only thing I really want to touch with a 10-foot pole in New Orleans. I tried to play some Juwan Johnson in a couple weeks. He was tight end 3 last week, but I feel like he's a situational week by week type of a play as Juwan Johnson. This week it's the middle of the line matchup against Washington. You can do it if you want, but I'm not bullish. I got him down at 18 this week.
Yeah, Kamara got him at 12, but 12, 18 for me, it's kind of the same. Like 12 is just the bottom of the barrel, I'll put him, because these games have been bad for him in fantasy. And you look at his player card, it's still about 13 fantasy points per game with 20 point upside. So with that floor, 6 target floor, for me, it's tough to fade him. But I would say actually 12 is a fade for Alvin Kamara in the way he's played. And on the Washington side of things, obviously you're going to fire up J-Day home, not a home game, but a return to Louisiana where he had a prolific year for the Tigers at LSU. He heads down to the state of Louisiana to play in a place that he's definitely familiar with. You're definitely playing Brian Robinson. You're 100% playing Terry McLaurin. So Terry McLaurin this week is the standalone highest cuck score in the model. It is a 50-point difference between one and number two. Alante Taylor, the Kool-Aid McKinstry, it don't matter. He's getting 95 yards or a touchdown in almost every single game this year. He's the number one target. He's coming out of the bye, going to feel refreshed. You're going to play some Terry McLaurin. So there's really not much to talk about there, Cody. But what I do want to ask you is in the running back situation for the Commanders. Brian Robinson seems to be like his role's carved out. We like him. He's a running back too in fantasy. But with no Austin Eckler, I thought logically there'd be a lot more Jeremy McNichols before the bye than we saw. We ended up seeing a lot of Christopher Rodriguez. McNichols versus Rodriguez, are you playing either one of them in a desperate situation in the first round of the playoffs?
I don't want to play any of them. I'm not going to play any of them. I get the Rodriguez thing, but I'm not.
It all came in garbage time. You'd have to. I hate betting on garbage time because it just takes a special team snafu, a fluke pick six, a fluke play to change the dynamics of the game, and there's no garbage time. There was like three quarters of fucking garbage time against the Titans before the bye. I mean, they put that game away early, and I don't see Rodriguez having a lot, and I just don't trust McNichols in that role. I don't think he's right. So I'm with you. I'm not looking to play either guy. Next, let's talk about the 8-5 Baltimore Ravens heading to the Big Apple to take on the 2-11 New York Giants. And that may be disrespectful because it's not the Big Apple, it's New Jersey. But the Giants are 16-point underdogs at home, 42.5 over under. Tommy DeVito is at quarterback, so let's start with the Giants. Tyrann Tracy, Malik Nabers, that's the only two you're considering playing. Talk about them.
Tommy DeVito, man, Danny DeVito, he might as well be. Anything in this game, like, I want to see this Malik Nabers thing bounce fully back. I'm just not sure we're going to. I've been very impressed with everything I've seen from Malik Nabers, but gosh, man, the quarterback thing here, switching up every other week, you know, obviously start with Daniel Jones, you go to Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito, then Drew Lock, now back to DeVito. They'll probably go back to Lock. Like, that's not good for any wide receivers. I mean, it's sure you could say it's good for their development from catching from different quarterbacks, but it's not really good for their development for building chemistry with anybody. So I'm hesitant here. You see like the lack in catch rate and like catchable targets, like the target versus catchable targets. Last week he had 9 targets, 5 catchable. The week before, 12, 10 catchable, 9, 7 catchable, 10, 6 catchable. That's been the last 5 weeks. Before that, it was like 10 and 10, 14 for 15, 6 for 7. It was a lot better rate, a lot better opportunities for our guy Malik Nabers. He also had a boatload of games in the first 8 weeks of the season with 150, 160, 140, 190 air yards. These last 5 weeks, he just got over 110 air yards for the first time since week 8 this last week. So I'm kind of excited for Nabers, but I'm kind of nervous for Nabers as well. As far as the Ravens side of things, Derrick Henry just cut off his dreads. Are you nervous about that?
He
no longer has 2 feet of hair sticking out the back of his helmet. Does that mean he's going to be faster, or does that mean he doesn't have the alpha quality anymore in his running game?
Derrick Henry is not afraid of bad juju. Bad juju is afraid of Derrick Henry. I don't give a rip. If he cut it, that means he was sick of it. As a guy who shaves his head, it's because I get sick of it. The fact that he took it down, good for Derrick Henry. But if someone's looking to trade him, I'm definitely using that as a way to try to swindle him. But for me, Derrick Henry, running back uno this week. They are going to run in this run funnel defense.
Give me a number. He's got to catch up to Saquon. Give me a number.
This is going to be a game that we go, Derrick Henry's fucking incredible. Off the bye, rested, no dreads. I think we're talking north of 150. I think he goes over 150. I really do. That's going to be my Q1 call of the week preview of the game plan this weekend. Let's keep the preview train going. The 5-8 Cincinnati Bengals head over to the Tennessee Titans to take on the 3-10 bottom feeders. 5 points at home make them an underdog. Over under of 46, completely pushed by the Bengals. I'll start on the Bengals side of the ball. Yes, please. You're starting them all. Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans, Cody.
Tennessee Titans, what do you want to play here? I don't want to play anything. Tony Pollard has been the model of low-key consistency, and I'll call it low-key consistency because it's what it is. It's not some high-end output that you're getting from Tony Pollard, but it's kind of a range of interesting where I kind of feel better about playing Tony Pollard than I do Alvin Kamara on a weekly basis right now, because we're getting some spike and the low isn't bad low. You know, we had one 5-pointer back in week 11, but you know, pretty much since week 8, it's been pretty consistently a top 24 guy, 24, 12, 23, 5, 25, 16. Like, he's pretty decently. So I kind of like to play with some Tony Pollard here. Calvin Ridley, though, the other guy in this offense that you may have interest in playing, targeted like a menace, right? Targeted pretty on a weekly basis. You feel good about the targets, whether it's high-end targets or high-end air yards, and the output just hasn't quite been there. You got 3 weeks this year inside the top 15, for a matter of fact. Three games inside the top 15, and each of them were inside the top 6, and he hasn't had one in over a month. So kind of low on Calvin Ridley this week. Tony Pollard, though, coming in for your boy at running back 13, and Calvin Ridley on the other side coming in at wide receiver 38.
I wasn't big on Ridley until I saw the Cuck score come out. He's a top 10 register this week because he gets Cam Taylor-Britt. Cam Taylor-Britt has been beaten like the redhead stepchild. And I'm sorry if you're redhead stepchild, but that is the analogy. So I got him at 25, but I was with you at first. I didn't love the matchup, but I've ended up settling at 25. So a wide receiver 2 for me. All right, let's keep it going. 3-10, New England Patriots head west to play the Arizona Cardinals in their 6-7 record. Cardinals are 6-point favorites at home, over under 46. Let's start with the New England side of things. Give us one player that you like or one player you don't like, but talk about your one highlight here, because that's all the Patriots deserve.
give me one player from the – I don't got a player. That's my thing. I don't got a player from the New England Patriots, man. I am good on all of it. If you really feel like you're in a spot where you need – you know, if you're coming down to a Ferguson versus Hunter Henry – okay, I'll play Hunter Henry because he's given me, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 10 games. I'll play Hunter Henry over a Ferguson. I'll play Hunter Henry over a Freiermuth. But I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way and tell you that Hunter Henry is the play to make, but he's the one guy in the whole roster that I would play in fantasy is Hunter Henry.
Yeah, I don't love Stevenson this week either. With Gibson coming in, getting the role he has over the last couple of weeks, going into the bye, you expect coming out of the bye that they're not going to go away from that role. They're going to expand it. On the Cardinals side of things, of course, Trey McBride is awesome, but the guy I want to talk about is Marvin Harrison Jr. He's going to draw Christian Gonzalez, a tough matchup, big cornerback, going to make life really tough for the rookie. I have met wide receiver 39 this week. Tough to not play him, but I mean, if you got the cojones in the playoffs, it's time to put the nuts on the table. Let's move on one more time here. The Indianapolis Colts, 6-7, head to Mile High to take on the 8-5 Broncos. Broncos are 4-point favorites at home, over under of 44. I'll start on the Broncos side of things. You're playing Cortland Sutton. You're not playing a running back. And if you still play in DST leagues, fire up that DST. I think they are going to make life very difficult in the altitude for the big man. Remember, folks, a few weeks ago, and this is an audio only, so you're not going to see what I'm doing, but Cody is. That was me tapping out of the game from fatigue purposes. Well, you get a little extra fatigue in altitude. So I do think that the Broncos make it painful for the Colts. So, Cody, on that side of the ball, who are you going with?
I just added Matty Cum in a league. I did. Wouldn't shock anybody based on the results we've seen the last 2 months. Or I should say all season. Michael Pittman, who has yet, he's got one game into the top 20 in the season. It came in week 12. I just added him in a fantasy league off of the waiver wire. Pretty deep league too. I think it's a 20 man roster, and I just added him. I got him out to the top 40 this week for obvious reasons against Sertan. But I think the one guy I'll just say is Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor hasn't had a Jonathan Taylor game in a while. Man, he was running back 12 this last week. He had 25 carries, and he was running back 12. 25 carries, a target, and he was running back 12. We need our guy Jonathan Taylor to get back, and I think a get back is something like we saw in week 3. I have him ranked probably proper at running back 17, but I feel like this is a potential game where Jonathan Taylor gets right.
I do agree. Now, this next game is the game of the week. Buffalo Bills head to Detroit to take on the 12-1 Lions. Lions are only 2.5-point favorites at home. Listen to this, my friend. The over-under right now on DraftKings Sportsbook, 54 and a half.
More.
You're playing everyone. More. I'm sorry, folks. We're not getting into the details. If you want to hear our analysis on this barn burner, tune in to The Hurdle next Tuesday night on the South Harmon YouTube channel. But for fantasy, I mean, you're just salivating. You're playing Allen. You're playing Goff. You're playing Cook. You're playing Montgomery. You're playing Gibbs. You're playing Amon-Ra. You're playing Amari. You're playing Khalil Shakir. But are you playing Sam Laporta or Dalton Kincaid?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tim Patrick.
No, I would. If this was last week and there were buys, you're playing a Tim Patrick. But if you're in the playoffs, there are no buys. If you're starting a Tim Patrick, you're Foxville. You're not even.
I thought you was going to ask me. I play Tim Patrick over Michael Pittman. Hey, I'll play
Tim Patrick if you play Michael Pittman.
I play Tim Patrick over Michael Pittman. As far as the tight ends go in this Buffalo Detroit game, again, we haven't been. I mean, the two of the most underwhelming tight ends of the year, Sam Laporta and Dalton Kincaid. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to roll with the touchdown. The touchdown, my mind always takes me to Dawson Knox. So the higher ranked, I have Laporta. I do have him up at 10. Dalton Kincaid, I have at 16. Knox, I have lower than that. But I think Knox, if there's one guy I would – if I want to get nasty in this game, I think I want to get nasty with Knox.
Nasty with Knox. That could be a T-shirt, my friend. Yeah, for me – it's Sam Laporta. He's a top 10 play. I would like to also see Keon Coleman in the game. I'm not going to play him in fantasy, but if I roster him in Dynasty, I'm excited to see him back on the field. But with the wrist injury, I'm leaning Amari Cooper in this shootout if I have to pick one over the other. But this should be a fantastic game for football fans and a fantastic game for fantasy for the first round of the playoffs.
Dude, that total needs to be higher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, the way Josh Allen's playing indoors.
57, six 58.
Six touchdowns is absolutely back on the table. It hasn't let's happened since 1950. Up. Let's get
that thing to close at 60.
Ooh, yo. I mean, it's definitely going to push up a couple notches. People want to see that over, no doubt. Let's move on to the next game. 7-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to La La Land to take on the 8-5 Chargers. The Chargers are 3-point favorites at home. The over-under of 45. Let's start on the Tampa Bay side of things. Is Bucky Irvin going to play? Question one. Question two, who's your MVP on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers side this week?
He shouldn't play. Bucky Irvin shouldn't play, dude. When I saw that hip injury 2 weeks ago when he was walking off, I'll continue to talk about this thing. But and then he has a back injury this week. Like maybe it was a back last week when he walked – 2 weeks ago when he walked off. He just looked like a hip because of where he had the thing at. I mean, I think this guy needs to miss the game. He needs to rest. This team looks like it's going to make the playoffs potentially, most likely to win that division. I think we need to get some more Rashad White in this baby. Rashad White, running back 3 last week. He's given us a 5, a 2, a 3 all season. I mean, I love Rashad White, man. And all I want to do, Maddie, paper plane just went through my head, MIA. All I want to do is White take off, baby. Let's go. That's all I want in this game. So I want Rashad White to be the MVP in this game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Los Angeles, on the turf, indoors. Most likely it's going to be Mike Evans, but I just want it to be Rashad White. I want Rashad White to get his flowers. This man earns it. He deserves it. He's not an LA boy. He's a California boy. From the West Coast, when he went to JUCO, went to Arizona State, obviously. I think he's going to go back home. I think he's going to have a good-ass game.
I think, too, with the gruelingness of this type of team, the way Harbaugh likes to play and how this defense is played, get the big guy in there. The game plan should run through the bigger running back and allow the smaller Bucky Irving a chance to rest, maybe bring just change of pace every so often. Before we move on to the Chargers side of things, Mike Evans, we're playing him. But let me ask you, Jalen McMillan a flash in the pan, or is he a back-to-back week type performance guy?
I think so. I think this McMillan thing has to have. I was gonna say feet. Is that right? Has to have legs.
Legs.
Definitely has feet, but I think it has legs. It might be a midget with just feet, but no legs. But I think it also has legs with feet. Jalen McMillan, the opportunity's grown as the season went on. We kind of thought that we were going to get something as the season began with Godwin in the lineup. I mean, he did run 88% of routes, 86, 80 when the season began. Got banged up. ran 15% of the routes. He's grown back into a role that really matters. And he finally had a game where he was targeted, you know, more than 20% of the time this past week. So I think McMillan's only going to continue to grow. Less and less Sterling Shepard, less and less, you know, Rakeem Jarrett, Ryan Miller, all these other Fugue's donkeys. I think Jalen McMillan's for real. Not high end, but I think he's for real.
Yeah, and you're excited if you roster him in Dynasty that you're seeing correct. At least the role grow. And with Chris Godwin hitting free agency, we'll see what happens for McMillan in year two. On the Chargers side of things, it's such a good matchup for the passing attack, but it seems like Ladd McConkey is going to be questionable. He's probably going to carry that tag into Sunday, limited so far this week in practices. Missed last week, which would be a shame because it's a super advantageous matchup for Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey. If McConkey does not play, I'm not going to play any of the pass catchers, and I'm not going to play any of the running backs. I have Kimani Vidal and Gus Edwards, 36 and 37. Gus Edwards is a plug, needed a touchdown last week to have any relevancy. Kimani Vidal is just not getting the volume. And like you said, Vita Vea in the middle of that field, I'm not about it. So on the Chargers side of things, it's really McConkey, and I'll play Herbert in Superflex if I have McConkey. If I don't have McConkey, I don't want anybody on the Chargers side of things. Let's talk about the last game on the Sunday afternoon slate. The 10-3 Pittsburgh Steelers head to Philadelphia to play their in-state rival in the 11-2 Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are giving 5.5 points at home. The over-under of 43 suggests the Steelers are going to drag this thing into the black and blue division as opposed to the other way around. Let's start with the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers. Is George Pickens going to play this week, Cody? And if so, where do you have him ranked? And if not, how do you see this offense going? Who do you like?
I would like him too. I think that would be a big piece here for the Steelers in this game. Do I trust it? No, I don't really trust it. I think that this game is going to be black and blue, like you said. But I think the problem is the Eagles are going to be able to run the football against the Steelers. The Steelers have my computer's running a little bit. Is this in Philly?
It is in Philly, yeah.
And I think the last like 10 games in Philly for Pittsburgh has not been good. Over the last 10 in Philly for Pittsburgh. Philly. I understand it's been a minute since they've played there. I think it was like 2022, and before that it was, you know, like 2018 or something. So
yeah,
it takes
every 2 to 4 years. Yep.
Yeah, it's a different roster and whatnot, but I do think this Saquon thing has legs. I think this everything has legs today, I guess, according to me. Mekhi Becton also has legs. Mekhi Becton, this whole offensive line, I think, is playing good. I don't know. I don't know which side I would lean in this game in totality. I think you asked the question, George Pickens at the top. I think they need Pickens to play for Pittsburgh to have a chance in this game. I'm not sure this defense has the ability to slow this offense. I think Philadelphia walks the dog here. And I love Pittsburgh, but I think Philadelphia walks the dog here. I think Pittsburgh gives up, 30 points, 35. An unusual game for the Steelers here against Philadelphia. So as far as the Pittsburgh side goes, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Najee Harris, I got it running back 22. Jaylen Warren, I got it running back 29. And then at tight end, I do like Freiermuth, but I'm not bullish on him. I got him at tight end 18.
On the Eagles side of things, I'm playing the usual suspects. Devontae Smith, I think we need to proceed with a little bit of caution. I'm at wide receiver 30. A.J. Brown, find out whatever the anytime touchdown is. I don't know what it's at right now as we're currently speaking, but go ahead and put some shillings on A.J. Brown anytime touchdown. They need to put the kibosh on this friendship breakup narrative that's spinning out of control in Philly. I expect Jalen Hurts to hyper-focus. I think this could be the first time since week one that A.J. Brown gets 10 or more targets. So I like Brown, I like Hurts, and obviously Barkley is awesome. So like you said, they should be able to run the ball against the Steelers. I love Barkley this week. Let's talk about the first of three primetime games at the end of the week. The 9-4 Green.
What is up with this double Monday nighter thing? They just plugged this thing in here on us. I didn't even realize it until literally today.
I didn't realize it was like, I think someone mentioned it on Monday Night Football that next week was a doubleheader. And I was like, wait, what?
I think I realized that they had the shit game there with the Falcons and Raiders. And innately, I knew the Vikings were on Monday night because I like thought about it's like the night before my birthday. I thought about going home for it. And so I guess I knew they both were Monday night, but I didn't realize they were both together on Monday night, which is stupid. Yeah,
it's stupid. And I guess they figured Atlanta and Raiders, we can't make that the only game for the people that it's a shit fest. But let's talk about Sunday night football first. 9-4 Packers take on the 8-5 Seattle Seahawks. 2.5-point underdogs at home are the Seahawks. Over-under of 45.5. Cody, Packers side of things, it feels to me like we're going to play Josh Jacobs no matter what. But Jaden Reed, Jordan Love, they've been busts for us in fantasy over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Are you going back to the Love Reed well in week 15?
Well, first and foremost, Josh Jacobs needs all the flowers in the country and the county and the world. Last 6 weeks, running back 3, 22, 5, 2, 5, 4. Josh Jacobs has been carrying the boats, as some would say. As far as Jaden Reed goes, am I going back to the Jaden Reed well? Again, this is the Jaden Reed thing is like the Kamara of the wide receivers. You're getting the good weeks, you're getting horrible weeks. Last week he gave you a donut. He's giving you a 3-pointer. He's giving you a 6. He's giving you a 5 on the season. It's all week dependent. It's all matchup dependent. But that same goes for Christian Watson, who gave you wide receiver 23 last week and 71 2 weeks before that. Romeo Doubs giving you donuts. And it's really kind of a matchup based thing here. We finally got a little Dontavian Wicks whisper, but that was coming off of a horrid game. So really, in totality, I think I want to stay away from almost everything in the wide receiver room in Green Bay. I love me some Josh Jacobs, and I think Jordan Love is going to give you just enough to feed the fiend here. I guess I don't know. That's probably a weird way of phrasing that, but he's going to feed just enough to pay off. I got him at quarterback 18, just a notch ahead of that Jameis Rodgers conversation.
So on the Seattle side of things, right, folks, we are waiting to hear about Kenneth Walker. I don't think he's going to play. Usually when you have to get additional testing at the beginning of a week on something that you weren't even listed as missing the game for, things are not going well. The health is not looking good for Kenneth Walker. I suppose he misses this weekend. If he doesn't, I'm staying away from everybody on the Seattle Seahawks side of things other than JSN. Now, if he doesn't play, if Kenneth Walker is out, I am firing up Zach Charbonnet once again. Right now, I have them at 28 and 29. But once Walker is officially out or trending that way, I could tell everyone here listening now in my ranks, Charbonnet will be placed ahead of Jonathan Taylor. So he will be inside my top 20. I will play him again. And then JSN is receiver 14. The man is just coming into his own. And DK Metcalf, I am fading. I am not playing DK Metcalf. I am simply looking elsewhere. I have DK at wide receiver 36. The production just has not been there, and I don't see it coming. He's going to get a lot of the cornerbacks have been playing pretty well for the Packers, and they've been a pretty tough secondary in stopping opposing teams' wide receivers for fantasy football purposes. So I'm fading Derrick Henry. Like I said, he's barely hanging on to a top 40 receiver for me. Let's move on now to the first game on Monday Night Football. The Chicago Bears take their 4-9 record over to Minnesota to take on the 11-2 Vikings. Vikings are 6.5-point favorites at home. Over-under is 43.5. I'll start things off on the Chicago side of things. I am not trying to play Caleb Williams if I can help it. I have him at quarterback 21. I am not playing a running back in this game for the Bears. My highest rated one is Swift at 24, but I am playing two of the pass catchers. DJ Moore, I have ranked highest. He went off against this defense previously in the season, and the volume has been there more often than it has not for Keenan Allen, so I have him in the flex range at wide receiver 34. Rome Odunze, 2 touchdowns last week. I have him at wide receiver 45 because it's just not weekly predictable week to week. It seems a bit sporadic, but if you're in a pinch and you want a little bit of upside, let's say you're going against Garendo and you're going against Kittle and you're going against Kyron Williams tonight or on Thursday night and they kick your ass, you need some upside, I would play some Rome Odunze. He's in that prime boom-bust range. He's alongside the Xavier Worthies, Tank Dells, Ray McLeod, Xavier Leggett, these guys who can put up some fantasy points if the volume goes his way. So, Cody, hometown Vikings, you kind of firing everybody up? Are you playing Sam Darnold? What does it look like for you?
Yeah, firing everybody up. The last time these guys played, obviously Minnesota, Jordan Addison Hockenson went off. I think Aaron Jones rushed for 100 yards. Jefferson did nothing. I think this game, I think you'll get a little bit more respect from the Bears defense on Jordan Addison, and they'll be like, well, they're going to try this thing, and I think it's going to end up backfiring on them like it always does. When it did. Well, I mean, Jordan Addison went for $162, but we kept Jefferson in check. We lost the game. Now I think they'll try to keep Addison and Hockenson in check and see if just allowing Jefferson to get work helps them. I mean, this is what teams do. Either Jefferson eats or these other two eat, and it's just all kind of on a game-by-game kind of thing. I was surprised you said to fade off of Williams. I'm just going to say I want everything on the Vikings. Addison, Hockenson, Jefferson, Darnold, and Aaron Jones. But I was shocked to hear that you had Caleb low. I have Caleb up at QB 12 and Darnold at QB 16, and I think both dudes are thrown for 300 yards in this game.
Ooh, a barn burner on Monday night. I'd love to see it. I'd love, love, love to see it. Caleb's been up or down for me. I don't know. They took Thomas Brown out of the booth.
Coming out of the Vikings game last time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I hope so. I'm rooting for it, but I probably will be playing elsewhere. I'll probably be playing Tua over him. I'll probably be playing a little bit of Bo Nix over him this week. Right. But I like your confidence, and that's what I hope to see.
Hey, I think we skipped over Nix in particular in this conversation today. But where do you got Nix?
Oh, Nick. We talked about the reason why I skipped over him. When we talked about that game. Is we talked about it last week. He's a locked in QB like QB one. And for me this week, I got him at 11, and he's going to move up. He's going to move probably up to 9, and then after that, I take away the Thursday night games, he's going to be a top 8 play.
I like it. 3 for me. I like it.
Yeah. That's why I didn't even bring him up. Is we've had this conversation about Nick's. Yeah. Is he's a locked in QB1.
I know we're on a cruise. Our altitude is fast tonight, but I always wanted to bring it back up because it's Bo, man. People need to put the respect on this dude's name. He had a down week last week, but he's still Bo Nix.
Yeah, and he got you there, right? He had the long touchdown to Marvin Mims. He still got you there. It was ugly, but and it could have been better had they scored more through him when they got in close. But that I'm Bo Nix for me, locked in QB1 ROS all day, every day. Last game on the week 15 slate, and I know you say we're in cruise control, but right about an hour. So I think what we did is we just found our groove, baby. I think Stella just got her damn groove back today. We'll talk about the last game, the Atlanta Falcons. They are 6-7. They head to Vegas to take on their 2-11 Raiders. The Raiders are 4-point underdogs at home, which is just shows you how terrible Atlanta's been playing. Over-under of 44. Cody, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons side of things. What is this offense going to look like indoors, Monday Night Football on the road?
I mean, this is a team that literally just lit up the scoreboard. I'm just kidding. They didn't. They allowed the scoreboard to be lit up against them last week against the Minnesota Vikings, giving up a whopping 42 points, but they did fight back, I guess, until the fourth quarter when they scored 0 in the fourth quarter. Cousins had 344 yards, Mooney 8, Ray McLeod 8, London was targeted 10 times, Kyle Pitts didn't do anything. I mean, Kyle Pitts is on a – you know, he's back on the train. He's back on the train. He the train came by and stopped. He halted the station for a couple weeks at the beginning of the season. And then I think Tiger sent him back on that train down the play everything on this Atlanta side, man. I just think you do. This team needs a win horribly bad. This team sucks. Kirk sucks. And he needs to get right. I think there's no better game to get right than this one this week. And boy, do I pray for it because I got a fantasy team that has Mooney, it has London, and it has Bijan. So I need all the good juju here for the Atlanta Falcons I can get.
Ray McLeod was my sleeper of the playoffs. I know last week wasn't the playoffs, but it started strong. Ray, I think that could happen again this week as well. So on the Raiders side of things, I'm not playing Desmond Ridder or Gus Bradley's son. I'm not playing the quarterback for the Raiders. I'm not playing with the running back. With Madison coming back, they're still saying Sincere McCormick is the starter. Apparently, Antonio Pierce is just allergic to giving Dylan Lobby a chance. They are going to play McCormick, and they're going to play Madison, and they're going to play Abdullah. I don't want to play a single one of them. Even with the lion's share of touches, McCormick was just around 10 points last week, so I don't want to touch any of the running backs with a 10-foot pole. But the pass catchers, I do want to get me some Jacoby Myers in my lineups and, of course, Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, we'll get it out of the way. Tight end one, we talked about it last week. He every is week. There each and every week. He is unreal. Even after a bad week, I don't give a rip. It's always Brock Bowers season. He needs 144 yards to pass Mike Ditka for the most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. He going to get it in week 15. He's going to go nuts. After what we just saw, the Atlanta Falcons surrender to both Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, we are going to play Brock Bowers. He's going to go berserk on Monday Night Football. And if you need a wide receiver two or a flex, Jacoby Myers is a good start. It's just the volume is undeniable since week 9. 11 targets, 6 targets, 15, 11, and 10. That is 4 double-digit target games out of the Raiders' last 5, including a 10-catch for 121-yard game against Denver in week 12. That floor is exactly what I'm looking for in the fantasy playoffs. So Jacoby Myers is an absolute play for me in week 15. Mr. Carpentier, you are always a play for the fantasy analysis industry game. I don't think that's a game, but if it was, you'd be the first pick. And that's the week 15 slate. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, tapping in. Head on over to the South Harmon page on YouTube and make sure you check out all the shows. Subscribe. Check us out there. Make sure you rate, review, leave a comment, all that good stuff here on the South Harmon Podcast Network. And while you're at it, head over to southharmonff.com. Become a member of the shit community. Get access to the Warp, the rankings, the Patreon, the articles, all that good stuff. So head over to southharmonff.com. He's Cody Carpentier on X. I'm at Matty Kiwoom on X. Folks, thank you so much for walking through the week 15 slate. Get those wins in the first round, and we'll see you next week for the fantasy football semifinals. Peace.